shoes. You want some of those? Adeline, what's on your Christmas list? A doctor's set. Matthew? A toe bot? Yes, Emma? Unicorns. Okay. I think Bethan would have that on her Christmas list as well, actually. Who knows what's on my Christmas list? Anyone know what's on my Christmas list?
Dinosaur.
Oh, a dinosaur, that'd be nice. There we go. I think I might need some... Oh dear. Some socks.
Smelly socks.
Smelly. Whew, you're right, they are. Maybe I need some cleaner socks, because these are all a bit holy, aren't they? They're not very good for their job. But if we lived in the time of Ruth, which we're told in the first verse is set in the time of Judges, a time way before Jesus. Hang on, I need that in a minute. We wouldn't be wanting dinosaurs or unicorns or socks. We'd be wanting a king. Evie, do you want to wear it now? Do you want to wear it? You want to come and wear it, Ivo? Come on then. We'd be wanting a king. There we go. Oh. There we go. King Ivo. Excellent. Do you want to take it back to your seat? There you go. You can keep holding it. And if you've got a Bible, if you could turn to Ruth chapter 1, verse 1, and then go back to the final verse of the book beforehand, and you'll probably get to the last verse of the book of Judges, you'll realise why God's people so desperately needed a king on their Christmas list. Because we're told that everybody did what was right in their own eyes. Everyone thought, I'm the boss. And they go, you're not the boss, I'm the boss. No, you're not the boss, I'm the boss. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And in those days, the writer says, there was no king. And he's saying, if there was a king in Israel, a king who would be God's king, who would love God's people as God wanted to them, and he would rule over them as God wanted them to do, then everyone wouldn't do what was right in their own eyes. And there would be peace in the land, and God would bless the people. So on their Christmas list, those faithful few, perhaps like Ruth, perhaps like Naomi, they needed desperately a king. So the story of Ruth that we're going to look at today and over the next month is set in dark times. Now, I don't mean literally dark. Of course, even in winter like today, the sun came out, well, the clouds came out at least. But it was dark in their hearts. God wasn't present in their lives. They didn't consider what God had to say about things. It was a dark time. Big people, I've got a little activity for you to do. Could you turn to that first scene in Ruth chapter 1 that was read to us, please? So Ruth 1 verses 1 to 5. And could you count up, please, the number of times you see the name of the Lord mentioned? It's quite clear. It's L-O-R-D, big capital letters. L-O-R-D, the Lord. Can you count how many times you see it? Shout it out. Really? None. And yet it's interesting that in every other scene in the story, the Lord's name is mentioned at least one time. So it's not just a little bit dark in Israel, it's really, really dark. All the decisions that Elimelech and Naomi made as a family, they didn't consider God. They just did what was right in their own eyes. Yes, Matthew? Not in the first scene, it's not. Now, children. Ah. What's this? Anyone? Come a bit closer. It's an advent calendar. And tell me about advent. What do you do on an advent calendar?
You open doors.
Open doors. Okay.
You find something inside.
You find something inside. And what do you... Let's do the second. We've had this. Have we had the second?
Yeah.
There we go. All right. So we've got a picture. Now, what do the pictures tell in advent calendars?
Father Christmas.
Yes, Father Christmas. But what do the good ones have? What do they tell the story of?
Christmas.
So Advent is a time of waiting. Waiting for the coming of the King, King Jesus, but it's also a time of facing up to the darkness in our hearts, for the sin that so easily grips us. Just as Naomi and Elimelech needed to do in their time. They needed to wait for the coming of the King, who would be the light of the world, who would remove the darkness from their hearts. Now we'll come back to the last scene in a minute, but first of all, we're going to have a song. Jesus, who is the light of the world, is who we're going to sing to and sing about. Thank you. Please sit down. Okay, let's just try and recap that first scene. So I've got three questions. So let's do hands up. No calling out, please, big people. I know what you're like. Okay, first question. Ruth, the book of Ruth was set in the time of the... What's the word at the end of that sentence? Pat.
Judges.
Good. Second question. What happened to Naomi? John.
Went to live in Moab.
She went to live in Moab. What happened in Moab, Matthew?
Elimelech died.
What else happened?
The two sons died as well.
Great. Final question. God's people desperately needed what in the time of Ruth? God's people desperately needed, Claire?
A king,
good. God's people desperately needed a king. Good. Now remember we said that Advent was a time of facing up to the sin in our hearts, but also Advent is a time of waiting, of rejoicing, because the king is coming. And likewise, the book of Ruth is not mainly about darkness, it's not mainly about sin, but about love, about joy, about hope, and about peace. Anyone know what this is? Candles. Yeah, and what's around the edge? Hold on. Yes, Raj.
Yeah.
Good. A wreath and Advent candles. And each of the candles is a symbol. Some of them will have different colours, and they stand for love, joy, peace, and hope. It's a little reminder of the book of Ruth, that Ruth is all about love, joy, peace, and hope, overcoming the darkness. So if you've got a Bible, turn again to that last scene that was read to us in chapter 4, from chapter 4, verse 13. And can you see how it's a complete reversal of the first scene? In the first scene, we had death of Elimelech, death of the sons, we had famine, we had darkness, we had sin dominating. But now in this last scene, we don't have any of that. We've got joy, we've got new life. We've got marriage, all the things that are wonderful. God is blessing his people. God is turning Naomi's situation totally upside down. Do you remember from the drama? She says to start with, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara, because I'm bitter, because the Lord has dealt badly with me. But that's all gone now. Naomi is now rejoicing. She's happy. A son through her daughter Ruth has come with Boaz. Someone who'll continue the family name and the family line. A redeemer for the family. And a son who would be in the line of the king that God's people so desperately need. It's a total reversal. God is showing wonderful, amazing kindness in the most unexpected ways. Now, for Ruth and for Naomi and for Boaz, they could only faintly kind of see into the distance how their son, Obed, would be that family redeemer. They didn't even see beyond that he would be a relative of King David. For them, it was a bit like this. You see this? Paul, you're in the back row. What's it saying?
King.
Brian, is it clear?
Clear enough.
It's a little bit faint, though, isn't it? And that was what it was like for God's people through the Old Testament. They knew that the promise was coming, that a king from the line of David, from Ruth's line, Obed, would come and would somehow turn things around for God's people. But it was all a bit foggy. But for us now, living the other side of that first Christmas and the other side of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, it's all a bit clearer, isn't it? What does that say, Elias?
King,
it's a bit clearer than the other one, isn't it? So we know that the real king that God's people so desperately needed wasn't King David, as good as he was. It's an even greater king, King Jesus, who from birth was a king, from birth was the light of the world, from birth was a saviour. Here is the king who really is worthy of worship, even as that child. So there's our big picture of Ruth. From tragedy and death and despair to life to hope of a future because of a king that would come. But there's a smaller picture as well that I want us to see through this story as well. And that is that every Christian, their story matches that of Naomi. Think back to the start of the story again, into Naomi's life. She was in darkness, gripped by sin, unable to find a way out in her own doing. And that's a picture of the person who doesn't yet know Jesus. That was all of us before we became a Christian. We were in darkness. We were gripped by sin. We couldn't find our own way out. We were under God's curse. But now, in Jesus, we've come to the light of the world, and his presence has now come and removed the grip that sin had on us. We've gone from being under the curse of God to being blessed by God. We've gone from death to life. That's every Christian story. So as we read through the story of Ruth, which could equally be called the story of Naomi, we want to go on the journey too, from death to life. But here's a sneak preview for next week as well. Could you look at chapter 1, verse 6? Chapter 1, verse 6. Can someone tell me what Naomi and Ruth are doing in that verse? Yes, Matthew. Great job. They're returning from Moab to Bethlehem. They're going on a journey. And that physical journey from Moab to Bethlehem is matched in a spiritual journey. Naomi and Ruth are going from the place where there is no blessing back to the place of blessing, to God's land, to God's people. But they had to make that journey themselves. Yes, Naomi had to go on the physical journey, but she also had to realize herself that the Lord wasn't bitter with her, that the Lord wasn't against her, that she had no need to call her name bitter. For a start, she had Ruth next to her side. The Lord hadn't dealt unkindly or harshly with her at all. He'd been ever so gracious to her. But Naomi had to do that spiritual journey herself as well. And so if we want to come from darkness, from being under the grip of sin, to being in the presence of God and to have the light of the world in our life, then we too need to go on that spiritual journey. We need to realize that the Lord has made a way through King Jesus at Christmas to bring us from death to life, from curse to blessing. Let me pray. And then David and Elias are going to come and pray for us as a church. Lord, we thank you that you have made a way possible for us to come from darkness and from the grip of sin to having new life. And Lord, I pray for each of us. I pray that we would do that journey ourselves. And if we have already made it, that we would be so thankful and remember that this Christmas, this is not the birth of just any old child, but the birth of the Saviour, King Jesus. Amen.